Yes, and the help you get from Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, he'll keep it running, that rusty thing. Well, actually, he was doing the same thing to my daughter Tina's car. We're going to get into that. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Dan Burns is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue. A little construction going on there, right?
It's a mess, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of a mess.
They're putting those bump outs on all the curbs.
Oh, is that what
so
it is?
People can, you know, Grand Avenue is so busy. And
it is.
It's my grandkids, one of the families lives just a block off of Grand, and so they're over on Grand Avenue. The kids are over on Grand Avenue mm-hmm. all the time, running up and down the street, and it makes me nervous how busy it is.
So oh, yeah.
They say these bump outs are much safer, so I hope that's true.
That is true.
It's tricky to cross Grand Avenue, that's for sure.
Boy, I've tried to do that many times getting coffee, you bet. Dan has helped us out for many years here on CCO, helped you out. If you have any kind of a car, truck, van issue, and you need to bring it in to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, Dan will give you some idea of what might be wrong with it. Just give us a call or send a text. You know we tend to get busy, and Dan's going to be here till about 7:45, so don't wait. Call us or text us, number 651-989-9226, or send a text if that's easier, 81807. Full disclosure, my daughter Tina called me, or sent a text actually, because she was on her way out of town on business, and said, Dad, could you bring my car to Dan's? I was not able to do it because I worked late in the storms and the yada yada. And the point is that you guys at Lloyd's fixed it. I think it was a new power steering pump.
Yeah.
And evidently there's something else going on now, and she was unable to do it. So I drove it over there yesterday. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, but that has happened. I mean, you guys want to keep the customer happy.
Well, that's exactly right. And I joked with you a little bit this morning because when you came in, I hadn't realized that we had worked on the power steering, so I was a little bit nonchalant, and I didn't mean to be, but you know, things happen, and they do. And you are so kind. You said, well, let's not bring that up on the radio. And I said, no, let's, because it's important for people to understand that, you know, when you get your car worked on or your body worked on or your roof worked on, anything, things happen. You know, mechanical error, human error, all sorts of things can happen. And I haven't looked at Tina's car. I don't know what's wrong yet.
Right.
But at any rate, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, in your opinion, in her opinion, I just had my power steering fixed and my power steering's not working again.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
And
I don't blame you, you know. And when you show up at my front desk, my reaction should be, and I think that people should expect this reaction from anybody, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, but I'll certainly look at it. And we'll figure it out, and I'm sorry that you had to take time out of your life again and bring it back. But
because it can be a bother, a hassle.
Oh, it is a bother, no question about it. The last thing I want to do is spend time taking my car and being without my car. And luckily, Tina's out of town, so that makes it easy.
That helps,
it needs to be taken care of. Something happened. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is. Don't worry, we'll take care of it.
You'll zero in on the problem.
And not just because you're Denny Long.
No.
We'll do that for anybody.
Everybody, all of your customers
That's
do
right.
that. And you've said this over the years, Dan, that if you or your guys have to put in a new part, sometimes the new part is not the best. It was not manufactured correctly.
All the time. In fact, there's a whole list of parts or manufacturers that we won't use.
Oh, is that right?
Because we've had so much trouble. And, you know, that's just it. When you bring your car in, I want it fixed. I want it fixed right. And I want it fixed the first time.
You guys don't want to be bothered again.
I don't want to be bothered either. But that's beside the point. We're talking it from your perspective.
Sure.
You want it done right, and you want it done right the first time. So I think that's what a consumer can expect no matter who they're dealing with. And if you're not getting that from whomever you're working with, then you need to keep looking and find somebody that will deliver that.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 651-989-9226. I will be anxious to find out what happened, though.
Well,
that's kind of fun. I mean, for me, it's not my vehicle.
It'll be simple and dumb. It always is.
It probably is, let's go to the phones, Dan. Let's see who's been waiting. Tim is calling from Maplewood, I believe. Tim, you're on CCO with Dan. I think we got to get the phone. Oh, go ahead, Dan. We missed your first part of your call. Go ahead.
All right. Yes, this is Tim from Maplewood, and we appreciate the show and the good advice. My son's car is a Chev Cruze, just turned 100,000 miles. An alert on the dashboard said to change the timing belt. And I thought this was a little odd. It seemed like I was trying to clarify if they're talking about the internal timing belt of the engine or just the drive belt, like the serpentine belt, that would be serviceable outside of the engine. Just wondering if you know what they might be talking about there.
Right. At 100,000 miles, if it indeed has a timing belt, you know, inside the engine or underneath the covers, and I think it probably does, that is due to be changed, and that should be done. At that time, they probably will do the serpentine belt also because they have it often laying on the floor there, and it's the right time to replace that. But to answer your question even better than I can, if you look in your owner's manual, there will be a schedule for all of that. And if you look under the 100,000 mile column, it will show you that. But if it does have a timing belt, and I think it does, then that certainly would be due to be replaced at 100,000 miles. And that's important because if you don't do that, and if the timing belt breaks, not only are you stranded and stuck, but sometimes it can do some other internal engine damage, and you don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, right. good maintenance item, do it.
I found, too, that, Dan, as you have, if you don't have a manual, like it didn't come with your car, and it's used or whatever, Google, it's amazing what you can find. I found maintenance schedules on Google that were accurate. So
People say, you know, they worry about me and say, you know, with all the information you can get about a car on Google, does that hurt your business? And I said, oh no, it's perfect. You get just enough information to be dangerous.
That's
and
right.
It ends up at my shop anyway.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's take Gary's call in St. Paul and then we'll take a break. Gary, you're on CCO with Dan.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I had a strange experience. I have a 2008 Toyota 4Runner. It has 135,000, almost 136,000 miles. I had it in the shop to have a rear bumper replaced and a new windshield put in, and it was there for 2 days. And I went to pick it up, and I started the car, and the tappets or lifters or something were so loud, it was frightening. And so I turned it off and I thought, well, what could it be? I thought, well, maybe it could be low on oil. So I checked the dipstick and you're going to think I'm crazy, but the dipstick is pretty difficult to read on this car in that you don't really see the oil always going up to the second dot, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it appeared to be low, but I wasn't quite sure. So I dumped, I started with a half a quart of oil, put it in, started the car, let it run a minute, still loud, turned it off. And I put another half a quart in and started again, and it started to quiet down. Well, I still didn't like what happened because it was so loud. The noise. It sounded like an old 67 VW I had that was dying. Anyway, so I went right to Toyota, who's open late, and I had them change the oil and check for leaks. Well, they came back and said, well, you were overfilled by, a little more than a quart. And, I only had 2,000 miles on my oil change, and I get it changed every 3,000 miles. So, and now I'm actually sitting in my car in a parking lot, and it's just as quiet as can be. I don't know what could have caused that. It's just the strangest thing, and should I be concerned about it? The guy at the Toyota dealership did say it has this variable valve something or other, which makes it a little louder maybe when it starts, but he thought it sounded normal now, but it was just...
pretty noisy. What do you think, Dan, before we break?
You know, I don't know without hearing it, of course. And I guess I'm wondering if it was oil at all, for one thing, if it was maybe it was something else. Well, it was not oil, obviously, if it was full. And why now all of a sudden it's better, I don't know. You know, cars are weird, and I guess you've eliminated one possibility. It was not low on oil and is not low on oil, and probably there's nothing you can do now until you, if you ever hear that noise again, you'll have to bring it right over, which is what I tell people all the time. If your car's acting up, bring it right to me. I'll stop what I'm doing and come take a listen because I want to hear it while it's doing it. And so that would be my recommendation is you know, get a professional ear on it when it's doing it. And I think they'll be able to help you.
All right. There you go. Dan, we need to take a quick break here. We have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will be here till just about 7:45, till Jack Farrell's wine chat time. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, which I was visiting, what, two or three times this week,
I think. You've been there one too many times this week, but that's okay.
Walk out down the street for coffee. It's great. Yeah. By the way, for folks that don't know, where on Grand are you located?
We are at 982 Grand, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web also at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or give us a call. Big Nick will be there this morning, 651-228-1316.
Excellent. All right, let's take care of some more business here with folks. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Dan, I don't want to forget our texters either. This one came in a bit ago. Have a 1999 Saturn. Transmission works fine until it gets hot, and then it will not go into reverse. All other gears still work. Cool down, it will go into reverse just fine. Do you have any idea of what the deal is?
Yeah, it's probably a bad seal or valve body or something like that. You know, the whatever it is that's supposed to be moving when it's hot, or whatever it's supposed to, whatever it is that's not supposed to be moving when it's hot, is allowing fluid to bypass, and that's why it won't go into reverse.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, more than likely, that's going to be a catastrophic
big-time money
mess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know on a 99 Saturn if it's worth the money to get into that. But maybe you'll have good luck with it this winter when the weather cools
up. There you go. It gets cold.
Maybe it won't be as hot.
There's a silver lining there.
And then just park carefully.
Yes.
Don't have to back up.
Very good. Think ahead.
Yeah.
All right. John in Minneapolis has been waiting on the phone. John, we're listening. What is your question, please?
Yes, I have a 95 Chevy three-quarter ton van with 125,000 miles. When I go on the freeway, after about 65 up to 70, it starts vibrating, and I can feel it under the van in the steering wheel. At 75, I got to back it down again. It gets a little too rough.
You know, most commonly when there's a shake in the front steering, most often it's tire or wheel related. If it was on one of these little sports cars with low profile tires, I would say there that maybe you hit a pothole and you've done some damage to the wheel, and you certainly will feel that in the steering wheel. But the on a truck like yours, there's it's such a high profile tire that rare, you know, if you hit it hard enough to damage the wheel, you probably will have flattened the tire at the same time. So I don't think it's probably that, but at any rate, most commonly when you feel a shake in the steering wheel, it's tire related. So first thing I would do is take it into your shop and ask them to balance the tires and see what's going on with that. If they're way out of balance, you'll feel that. If not, maybe if the tires still look good, maybe they can rotate that tire to the rear, and then you won't feel it. But that's one of the diagnostic things we do. If you feel a shake in the steering wheel, first thing we'll do is rotate the tires and see if it goes away. If it goes away, then certainly it was in the tires, and you know the customer will have to make a choice about getting new tires.
Okay. Good morning, Saturday. It is the last few hours of summer, Dan. The fall season starts at 8:54 p.m. 8:54 tonight.
You know, it's my favorite time of the year for sure. But
mine too.
it's a little bit bittersweet in that that winter's right behind it.
I know.
Too bad fall doesn't become summer.
You guys at Lloyd's will be putting those winter snow tires
already,
on for sure.
Already.
I'm sure.
The tires are yeah,
coming in.
Our tire bin is full again.
Well, before Dan leaves us, which is in a few minutes from now, let's get some more help for some folks here. Kim is calling from Andover, has been waiting there. Kim, what is your question? Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Good
morning.
I have a 2013 Prius, and I love it. But recently, when it sits for a while, like during work or overnight, and then I get in and put it in reverse to back out, it's like something has to kind of break free underneath before it will back up. I can hear it, and I can feel that. It seems to be coming from the back passengers, or I'm sorry, from the back driver's side underneath by the wheel. Hmm. I had my brakes replaced not too long ago, just unrelated to that. They needed to be replaced. But also, I've noticed sometimes when I get in my car in the morning or after work, it will just like a clunk when I get in and sit down. What do you think's going on there?
Well, I think two different things. The clunk when you get in it is something that should be easy for us to find. You can rock the vehicle with somebody looking in, and that should be easy to figure out. The fact that when the car first starts, when you first start to move the car and you feel something, my first thought was, is something happening with the brakes? Mm-hmm. And then you confirmed my thought by saying you just had the brakes worked on. I think on that Prius, the parking brake is separate from the disc brakes that are in the rear, and when they've had that apart, sometimes that the friction material on the parking brake shoes will sometimes the glue will let loose, and they'll that friction material is just sitting in there, and when you park, sometimes then it'll settle down into place and get wedged in. And until you move the car, and of course the car has enough power to move it again, you'll feel that wedged piece moving, and it'll be fine again until you stop and park again for a while. But at any rate, my advice to you would be to, I think you should take it back and have those brakes checked and explain to them what's happening. And I think they'll know right where to look, because that was my first thought.
All
too.
Right. Very good. There you go, Kim. Thanks for the call. Let's take one more. Garrett in Bloomington. Garrett, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing? So I got two things. My Dodge Ram, my lights don't work. I had the bulbs replaced, but there was smoke coming from my Dodge a few months ago under the dashboard. Mm-hmm. And when I hold the only way I have lights once in a while is when I hold my bright light switch backwards. Mm-hmm. And then the other problem is I have a Ford F-250 Super Duty, and when I put it in neutral, that's the only way they'll start. Sometimes it starts in park.
Yeah. Well, let's do the Dodge first. Obviously, if you saw smoke and you have to do something different to make the headlights work, then you've got a problem. And what you used to have was a connection problem that was getting hot and causing the spark or causing the smoke. Now the connection problem has gotten so bad that it's not working at all anymore. Somebody will take that apart at the headlight switch or somewhere and find that where the connections come together, something has melted, and it'll be very obvious and easy to see. Maybe they'll even smell it and be able to find that. So you've got a connection problem going on there, and that should be easy to fix. And on the Ford, the fact that you have to put it into neutral to get it started, there's a neutral safety switch somewhere in it, and that's what's wrong with that. When it's in park, sometimes on those Fords, if you lift up on the shifter when it's in park, it'll make a difference, and it'll start then. But at any rate, there's a problem with the neutral safety switch, and that should also be pretty easy to diagnose and not too expensive to repair.
All right. Let's see if we can't – there you go, Garrett. Let's see if we can't pick up on a couple of text messages before you take your leave, Dan. Let's see. 2009 Ba-bum. Sonata. When I start, its RPM is 1,500, and I get no response out of the accelerator pedal. This is an intermittent problem. I guess that's it. I was looking for a follow-up.
If you get no response from the accelerator pedal, I'm not positive, but I think that that probably has a cable-less accelerator. In other words, when you step on the pedal on the floor, it's just actually a switch that is sending a message to give you more RPMs to the engine, and it's not making a connection at times. And in fact, if you take that in, there's probably a code stored in the computer relating to that, and perhaps even your check engine light is on. But at any rate, that's, again, not a hard one to diagnose and not very expensive to repair.
Well, that's so good news.
Good news for you.
Here's one text, Dan, an O2 Saturn 5-speed. Runs good, happens suddenly, can shift into the gears, but will not move. Any thoughts?
Oh, that's. I'm wondering if it's a manual transmission.
It sounds like it.
Probably is, and then it probably is a clutch, certainly a clutch-related problem. Maybe the clutch itself is worn out or broken and come apart, and that's not such good news, I'm afraid, because there's a chance you're going to have to take the transmission out and replace the clutch.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Outback, 16 Outback. When slowing down and turning right onto a busy street, I press the gas. There is nothing for 2-3 seconds. Then it lunges forward. It happened 4 times lately. What is that?
That sounds dangerous.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Same thing as that other call. I'm afraid that it's something related to the accelerator pedal. And unless the engine is actually revving and it's not engaging in the transmission.
Yeah.
So that's one I'd have to recommend that you probably take it in and have a test drive.
Most
and I
definitely
would actually do that pretty soon, because that, like I say, that sounds
could be
dangerous. When you need to get out of somebody's way, you need your car to go so you can get out of somebody's way.
Speaking of going, I know you have to take your leave.
I have to get out of the way, huh?
That's right. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, best way is give us a call. We are at 651-228-1316. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or come on over, 982 Grand Avenue, right in the heart of St. Paul.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.